happy day.
Oh, happy day.
When Jesus wore.
When Jesus wore.
Oh, when he wore.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null on the road. Glad to have you with us today. We're going to be taking a look at how mangoes help promote your gut health from Texas A&M University, and also how to prevent heart attacks and strokes. We're going to save some lives today. That's what we try to do every single day. My guest in the second part of our program, Justin Mikulka, is going to talk about the corruption of Secretary Pruitt and its Environmental Protection Agency and how private industry now operates through the agency and its ultimate agenda and goals. Also today, the latest on anxiety, heart problems, chest pains, and cancer from EMR, electromagnetic radiation. They say there's no proof of harm. We say, including from the Natural Blaze, Brandon Turbeville, you're wrong. There's a great deal of evidence, and you should know about it because it's on your package inserts. Really? Yes. We'll read you their package inserts on the products, their cell phones, their computers, their laptops, that they're telling you. Well, then why do they say there's no proof of harm? Well, you're not going to buy the product. We'll deal with that. Also, do you remember about, it's almost 12 years ago, I talked about a person that you should pay attention to, not then, but for the future. Mukta Sauder, he is a person who has enormous influence in Iraq. But at that time, he wasn't in Iraq. He was in Iran studying to be a mullah. And that would have taken 7 years. He's back, and he is the most powerful person in Iraq. Might have been a good idea to make friends instead of put him on the terrorist list. So the politics of Mukta Sauder and his election victory in Iraq, a special report from Emmanuel Walterstein. Also, if time permits, a commentary from Chris Hedges from Truthdig. And also, I've heard so many times people say the founding fathers wanted us to be a Christian nation and put that in the Constitution. No, they didn't. And no, they didn't. So just to correct the historical record today, from Rob Boston, Aldernet, we'll correct the record. Also, I have an interesting audio clip from a young fella. How young? 13. What he says about God. What is God? He explains. His name is Max Lowen. Also, where do you get your cheapest health care, quality health care? It's only 2 minutes long, but it's accurate. I'll add on to that. And congratulations to Roger Walters, because he had the courage to condemn the Syrian airstrikes, to condemn the white helmets. Few musicians, few entertainers will stand up and side with the truth. He did. We just want to acknowledge that. So you see, we have a lot to cover. I'm not sure we'll get it all in. Probably won't. But we're going to get as much as we can. We always start with the latest on health and healing. And because we have a worldwide audience, every day new people are listening. And a lot of people know, certainly those of you who've been listening for any length of time, that this is a program of record, meaning we just don't slap stuff together here. Based upon my own standards and those of my staff, I select people based upon them being scholars in their field. So everything is vetted, and we look to have quality information from peer-reviewed literature. So if you're a medical doctor or nurse or layperson, you want to know, is that possible? You bet it is. We give you the citations. For example, from the peer-reviewed journal Molecular Nutrition and Food Research, a study done at Texas A&M University and published in this important journal shows that mangoes, simple, delicious-tasting mangoes, which contain a combination of polyphenols and fiber, are more effective than the equivalent amount of fiber powder in relieving constipation, which, by the way, is a chronic digestive condition that affects 20% of the American population. Quote, this is from the study, and I always try to give you a quote. Quote, our findings suggest that mangoes offer an advantage over fiber supplements because of the bioactive polyphenols contained in mangoes that helped reduce markers of inflammation and change the makeup of the microbiome, which includes trillions of bacteria and other microbes living in our digestive tract, end quote. We're a nation that's constipated. Why? Three things. Too much meat, too little fiber, and too little water. That's a perfect combination. Now, if you want a fourth, throw stress in there. And that means food stays fermenting or putrefying. If it's meat, putrefying in our gut. If it's sugars, fermenting, and that creates gas, bloating, and distension. So when you have a poor diet, most Americans do, you end up with constipation. Now, most Americans will be told at some time, take a laxative. Most of the commercial laxatives are just a simple fiber, like psyllium powder. They're saying the mango is better because the mango actually is a living entity. It has vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, polyphenols, and plus the power of it to change the positive bacteria. Fiber can't do that. So, you're constipated? Try a mango. From the University of Massachusetts Medical School, an article about broccoli and how, get this is important, it reduces the symptoms of autism. And this was a randomized double-blind study. Why? Because of the chemical that you've heard me mention many times, sulforaphane. Sul, S-U-L, furo, F-O-R-A, phane, P-H-A-N-E. Now, we know that autism spectrum disorder affects about 1 in 38 boys. That's the newest figures. It's characterized by impaired social interactions and communications, as well as restricted or repetitive behaviors, and it varies widely with respect to its causes. Vaccines are certainly one of the principal causes. And by the way, the excuse they frequently give is, well, the MMR vaccine has been studied and we can't find a relationship between the MMR vaccine and autism. Rarely, if ever, is the MMR vaccine given alone. It's frequently given with five other vaccines. There's never been a study, not one single study, showing the impact of those six vaccines all given on the same day to a child. But that's where we end up seeing it. In any case, there's just no treatment that works within orthodox medicine. But with sulforaphane, among other things, with broccoli, it makes a big difference. Here are the conclusions from this study. Quote, many parents and caregivers articulated the positive effects of sulforaphane both during the intervention phase and in the ensuing 3 years reported herein. These observations may contribute to understanding autism spectrum disorder and to treatments that may alleviate some of its symptoms. Diet and supplements-based therapy deserve careful consideration for their potential to provide vital clinical as well as biochemical information. End quote. I helped a young person. His parents are probably listening right now. They were both retired New York City police officers. They both lived in out in Brooklyn, Bed-Stuy. And their name is the Ortegas. Very nice couple. Just as calm and focused and decent, honorable human beings you'd ever want to meet. And their son, Jonathan, was not able to speak and had repetitive head banging, a lot of other things that many people with autism spectrum disorder suffer from. But remember, it's a spectrum. It can go from mild to full-blown uncontrollable, and then they're institutionalized. You don't want to know what it's like being institutionalized, and yet there's never been a report on it, never been a documentary, never been a study, never been, and that's something for our citizen journalists in this audience to do your homework. I'm willing to provide you free cameras that you could use, high-definition, state-of-the-art cameras. Get yourself into an institution for autism or Alzheimer's. What you'll see will scare you. And this is the dark side of the medical industrial complex. It's all for profit. They're sedated 24/7. They're kept restricted, frequently strapped in a chair. And they just stay there till they die. But what about an autism child that could be 16, 18, no longer can be controlled by the parents? They don't have a long life, but they still have a life. But they're so sedated, they lose whatever cognition or awareness they have. This is like a psychiatric gulag. Do an expose on that. We'll report it on the show. In any case, they were at their wits' end, and she was listening one day. She returned from the psychiatrist, who said, we just have to put him on another antipsychotic medication. He was already on four. She said, if you put him on a fifth one, it could kill him. He said, well, there's nothing more we can do. I was talking that day just a coincidence about things that could help stop seizures. Well, most autistic children have seizures. She tried it and it worked. She brought him in, put him on a protocol. And then that day came where he had calmed down and he went to the door and he actually spoke. He was going outside into their backyard. She about fell off the chair. Today, Jonathan Ortega is completely normal. Not only is he completely normal, but I brought him and his parents to Washington, D.C., to an international scientific symposium where I was invited. And I had a woman with full-blown Alzheimer's, advanced, very advanced. She was being taken to a home in Indiana. She came up and spoke with the audience, completely articulate, highly intelligent, and talked about her journey back to normal. Then Jonathan got up there, and he had cards in his hands, and he was reading the cards. And I said, what are the cards? And he said, outstanding student of the week. This is not in a regular, or just a special school. This is a regular school. Smart kid. All right. Then he likes playing instruments, making meals for the family, playing sports. He's not just a normal child. He's an exceptional young man. And I saw him last about 3 years ago when he and his parents dropped by while I was doing a retreat. They came by to say hello. They're doing terrific. Now, think of it this way. On the one hand, we have our skeptics, critics, these self-proclaimed grand inquisitors who protect the church of orthodox science and medicine. They say there is no way of helping a person, but we have people that have reversed their diseases. Not a single human being in the world has been able to do this. No one, not one. In orthodox medicine, we do it regularly. It'd be like walking around, watching on television, Bannister break the four-minute mile, and there are people saying the body cannot break a four-minute mile, can't be done. But it's been done, can't be done. It has been done. Now think of the New York Times. They're always, always without exception. You will never find the New York Times, those idiots working there. You will never find those lowlifes ever telling the truth when it means that they have to in some way go against the orthodoxy that has got them completely controlled. They're such an embarrassment, those life degenerates. I cannot tell you the contempt I have for people who could find the truth and refuse to acknowledge it. The Washington Times, the Washington Post, CNN, they're all the same. It's unfortunate because they're bright people, highly educated people, completely capable people, and completely disingenuous. So here we have this phenomenon going on in our society. We have people who are here with their medical records, reversing Alzheimer's, reversing multiple sclerosis, reversing end-stage lung cancer, reversing glioblastomas, reversing autism, and as if it never happened. But it did. The evidence is there. So as a society, are we willing to have that truth? Because on the one hand, everyone looks to orthodox, ultra-orthodox, and hyper-orthodox on steroids, so closed that you couldn't open that mind with a sledgehammer. They don't want to know any other truth. That is scientific medicine. So rigid, so in contempt of truth, any other reality, that they refuse to even have an open and honest and civil discussion. So, that's one of the reasons people listen here. At least they will hear these people. By the way, I think even today, if anyone in the audience has had one of those reversals, call. Our number is 888-874-4888. And Luann, if you're listening, if you have someone, call in. Let the audience hear the truth instead of always feeling that we can't do something because we're told we can't do it. Well, Hillary was told you can't climb Mount Everest. Lindbergh was saying you can't fly across the Atlantic. Wow. Boy, what ultra-orthodoxy does to completely deaden every sense of curiosity and interest. Separately, from the University of Eastern Finland, high vitamin D levels are linked to lower cholesterol in children. Now, there's a link between higher serum vitamin D levels and lower plasma cholesterol levels in primary school children. That's important. Get your vitamin D, lower your cholesterol. Lower your cholesterol, protect your heart, protect your blood vessels, protect your brain. Easy to get, inexpensive. Vitamin D3. This was published in the Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism. Oh, and by the way, to finish up, I don't know the exact number, but I was told 7,000 scientists. It might have been more or less. And that was not supposed to be what I was going to. I was supposed to be doing my report, which was a clinical study I did on reversing menopause in 93% of the women who were postmenopausal or menopausal, and which in itself was a landmark study. That's why I was invited. And they were like dumbstruck. So when I said, you're seeing things that you're all doing research on. Now, this morning, I'm listening to all of you talk about if you only had, $20 million or $100 million to find how you could rejuvenate, the stem cells and the brain to help this. Well, here's a whole stimulated person, rejuvenated person. Here's a whole brand new brain. We've rewired a person's brain. Do you want to know how we did it? Come out in the hallway afterwards. When I got off the stage and walked around to the back, there was like total silence. And then like 500 or 600 people packed in that hallway, doctors and scientists from around the world to figure out. They didn't know what they had just seen because they had never seen it before. Guess how many of them followed up? Not one. Not a single person followed up. There's an old statement by the man who founded Gestalt. A fear of knowing is a fear of doing. Also, one more comment here on health and healing. And this is where I said we would help save some people from heart attack or strokes. And there's a University of Messina, which is in Italy, that show that isoflavones, calcium, vitamin D, and inulin, I-N-U-L-I-N, improve quality of life, sexual function, body composition, and metabolic parameters in menopausal women. So if you're a menopausal woman, go up on prn.fm, go to the articles, download the entire scientific article, which was published in the peer-reviewed journal, that I did on a clinical study over 12 months, reversing all the symptoms and keeping them reversed, including regrowing hair, recoloration of the hair natural, getting rid of fat, getting the libido back, getting vaginal dryness gone, getting the thinning of the eyebrows, fatigue, mood swings, all reversed, hot flashes, night sweat, all gone. And it'll give you the full parameters and full protocol. So listen up. Going to help strengthen your heart, prevent heart attacks. How to do it? D-ribose, R-I-B-O-S-E. Now, heart disease is the leading cause of death among men and women in the United States. That's according to the CDC, which means that 630,000 people die every year from heart disease. Now, here's the new news. There's a natural sugar molecule, D-ribose. It can improve heart function, improve blood flow, renew metabolic energy, and help to alleviate serious coronary conditions. And it can restore energy, depleted tissue, and reverse damage after life-threatening events. I'll try to make this simple. D-ribose is a monosaccharide. That means a very simple sugar molecule. It's found in nature, but in very limited amounts, in foods like nuts, mushrooms, grains. And it also helps build ribonucleic acid, or the RNA. And D-ribose is an essential component of ATP, which is adenosine triphosphate. That's the molecule used by cells to transfer energy. And adenosine triphosphate, which is vital to cellular energy metabolism, plays an important role in heart health. However, ATP levels can be depleted through oxidative damage and inflammation. If you go to college, you drink, you're destroying your ATP levels. You're overweight, you're destroying ATP levels. You're diabetic, heart disease, all these destroy it. So ATP depletion in turn causes even more inflammation, oxidative damage, and threatens the health of the heart cells and tissues. So when you supplement with D-ribose, which is strongly antioxidant, strongly anti-inflammatory, you can help bring cellular adenosine triphosphate levels back to normal. And that's particularly beneficial after a serious event or heart attack or heart failure. And Elena, if you're listening, you've just had seven strokes. Pay attention to what I'm saying. Follow the protocol. I've known this person for almost 50 years. Very smart. Doesn't look after her own health. You can't survive on the American diet and just working yourself to death. One of many nutrients you need, D-ribose. That way you can protect the heart against ischemic perforation injury. One of the most significant of D-ribose gifts to the cardiovascular and neurological system is its proven ability to protect against damage caused after a heart attack or stroke. And it's known as ischemia reperfusion injury, and that condition is caused by the sudden overwhelming return of oxygen-rich blood to damaged oxygenated starved tissue. Fortunately, studies have shown that high dose, 3 to 4,000 milligrams of D-ribose, which comes in like a tablet, chewable tablet, mildly sweet, and everybody that exercises, before you go out to exercise each day, chew up some D-ribose. All right, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 milligrams. And that can help you. And low-level chronic ischemia can deplete ATP as well, decreasing the heart's normal supply of D-ribose, leading to angina and cognitive heart failure, or what is known as congestive heart failure. and congestive heart failure, in which the heart can't contract sufficiently to pump blood through the body, can cause difficulty breathing and exercise intolerance. So there we go. We can improve our health, the health of our heart. We can prevent ourselves from having heart attacks and strokes. All right. I'm Gary Nall. We're 25 minutes into our program. We're going to take a break and come right back. Please stay with us. Nice to have you with us, everyone. We're about 10 minutes away from our guest. I want to play a clip that I found interesting. There's two short clips. The first one we're going to go to is the cheapest health care. And then I'll add a few comments on that'll make sense for you. Please listen, the cheapest health cost, because we know how expensive it is to get medical procedures, and frequently, unfortunately, many people don't have the money, can't afford the copay, don't have insurance, and therefore they don't get the quality care that could improve or save their lives.
Ten out of ten.
This is the story of how a simple toothache opened my eyes to a whole new world. See, I'm American, and my country is known for its very expensive healthcare system. To fix this tooth would have cost $1,500. But I did some research, and it turns out I could fix my tooth in Mexico for only $120. I checked flight prices, and I could fly there for $200 and stay at a nice hotel for only $100. See, it's actually cheaper to go on vacation and fix your tooth than to just do it in your own country.
¡Viva México!
This is what people call medical tourism. And after fixing my tooth in Egypt for only $120, I am convinced that everybody that lives in expensive countries should look into medical tourism. Just this year, 15 million people crossed borders for more affordable health care. So here is what I did. This tooth, I ended up fixing it in Egypt, and I stayed in this hotel and saw these pyramids for less than what I would have paid back in Los Angeles. It's like getting a free vacation with your root canal.
I flew from London to Poland and got four of these for one-fourth of the price.
I got LASIK eye surgery in South Korea for $1,200. In the US, that would at least cost me $4,000. And now I can see!
But is it safe?
If you do your research, then yes! The problem is, we look at other countries and think that their medical systems are not good enough. But the truth is, they have some of the best doctors in the world. That root canal that I had in Egypt, my Australian dentist checked it out and rated it
10 out of 10.
He couldn't believe I'd only paid $120 when he would have charged me...
I would have charged her $1,200.
For simple procedures like a root canal. Medical care in other countries can be just as good, if not better, than what you would expect at home. So next time your tooth starts to ache, instead of planning another expensive visit to the dentist, book a flight to Mexico instead and enjoy your medical vacation. Adios, me gusta.
Hey. The person is actually accurate, very accurate. A hip replacement in the United States can cost over $50,000. The same identical medical procedure done with the same quality, safety, and outcome is about $4,000 or less in India. In fact, almost all medical procedures are less. And please do not think that somehow, because it's India, that the quality of their medical education, their curriculum, their intern residency is less than the United States. I don't care where you go to medical school in the United States. India is equal and comparable. And they also combine Ayurvedic medicine, and there are medical hotels all along the Bay of Bengal, and all these beautiful palm trees, and you look out at the ocean, and you have people attending to you, and you're getting fresh juices and fruits and vegan meals, and but high-quality medical care. So at an enormous savings, huge savings. So consider your options if you need a medical procedure and you cannot afford it in the United States. I would look first at India, secondly at South Korea. Those would be the number one and number two. All right. Now let's hear from this young fella. Wow. 13 years old. What a brain he's got. Wow.
A future Nikola Tesla. And tell us your name and what you do for a living.
Hi, I'm Maxwell Lahan, and I am a physicist, inventor, entrepreneur, and, well, I guess change maker. I'm 13, and I feel like I can change the world, and I've already started my positive impact on it.
What have you done? How have you changed the world so far?
So aside from inventing a whole bunch of different stuff that probably won't matter now, but my most recent thing, which has gotten me a little bit of attention online, is my energy device, where I extract electromagnetic energy from everything around us and convert it into electrical energy. In other words, a stream of unlimited energy. So, you know.
So, do you think you can solve our energy crisis here on planet Earth?
I believe I will, and I believe I already have solved the main problem. Now it's just a matter of, you know, getting this out there.
And what do you need to be able to get this out there? You just need somebody to watch this video and say, here's some money, or what do you need?
Well, all I can think of really is support, you know. Throughout history, people like me have been prosecuted and killed, murdered, and a lot of other very horrible things. And if I have support from a lot of people, I don't think that that will happen in our modern day and age. We're a little bit too civilized for that. So all I'm saying is that if you think the world should be a better place too, then, you know, just support.
Okay. So we started off by talking about my book, E equals MC squared and the New Definition of God. And you told me that you had already come to the same conclusion 3 years ago, and
yes,
that my book was a dumbed-down version of your theory, which I think it's clearly the case. What is God?
So, a lot of... Oops. We're in the United
Okay.
Nations.
Yeah, and people walking around down in the basement here. Go
yeah.
ahead. What is God?
Okay, so a lot of people think God is, quite in the biblical sense, a guy sitting up on a cloud who controls the universe, frankly, and has created all life. But my definition of God is not like that. I don't believe God is person or entity. God is just another form of energy. Well, actually is energy. Himself, well, not even himself, itself. For the fact that you look at the Bible and other really, you know, awesome but extremely vague and unreliable sources in religion that, you know, hold these sources that we find and facts that we find, or so-called facts that we find, and really a lot of people think it's just about faith. But if you relate the Bible to quantum physics and apply most of the laws, actually, in not less of a figurative sense, but more of a literal sense, and replace it with things like the universe, you'll eventually find out that it explains in-depth quantum physics and astrophysics experiments and theories. Well, maybe not theories, because maybe now they're proven. Who knows? Maybe the Bible isn't a story of something that happened on Earth, but maybe a story of how our universe began. For the fact that, honestly, I don't really buy into the literal biblical sense, like, you know, God is literally a guy who looks like us, who sits up in an alternate realm that's in our clouds and, you know, watches over all of us, but I guess you could say that he's an energy form that created all, is all, and is everywhere and nowhere at the same time. God, or energy, lives within us, through us, and can...
And is us.
And is us, frankly.
So you said what, that God is the energy that is in us, created us, and is us.
Pretty much, yes.
Is that your definition?
Yep.
I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Sort of, yeah. God is energy. That's my thing. And I mean, like, you look at dimensional theory, and eventually we have, you know, a singularity at the beginning of the universe that is energy. And then, you know, eventually that begins to slow down in vibration due to entropy or some other law of that sort. And then, you know, first you get photonic light, and then that slows down, and then we get matter, and then that slows down. And then who else knows what comes next? We have gravity, and then we have time, you know, all coming in at one sense. And I mean, does that sound like origin story to you? It kind of does a little bit to me, but, you know, maybe that's just a coincidence. Maybe these philosophers, or unreliable monks, we call them, that lived up in the mountains and wrote this weird book that doesn't have any factual evidence behind it, maybe they were quantum physicists ahead of their time, and maybe they're just trying to tell people, you know, live.
There's a whole lot more of that young fella, and he goes deeper and deeper into the dynamics of energy, and everything is energy, everyone is energy, and his idea of the creation was energy, and then trying to understand it through physics. 13 years old. What a mind. We're going to take a quick break and come back with our guest who's online. Please stay with us. Let's say hello to Justin Mikulka. He is a freelance journalist and an author and video producer who focuses on the energy industry, particularly on the fossil fuel industry and the EPA and energy regulations. He's a contributing writer to DeSmog blog, and his articles have appeared in Truth Out and Resilience, The Ecologist and Aldernet, Nation of Change, and other progressive and environmental news and commentary sites. And he has his website, I believe. Justin, what is your website? DSmogBlog.com?
Just DSmog.com.
DSmog.com. It's nice to have you with us today, Justin. Recently, you reported about the Environmental Protection Agency's Secretary Scott Pruitt's ties with the climate change denying think tank, the Heartland Institute. And shortly after Fukushima, we took a we took on the Heartland Institute because it was the most vocal voice of dissemination about the safety of nuclear power plants and nuclear radiation. It's also a notorious propaganda machine of bad science and climate change denialism. And the Koch brothers are the Institute's key financiers. And I'd like to begin with the EPA's ties to the Heartland Institute because it is truly indicative of how dangerous, and in my personal opinion, how utterly corrupt Pruitt's EPA is. So share this relationship, and what other relationships does the EPA under Pruitt have with other climate-denying groups that we should be concerned about? And is it true to say now that private polluting energy industries are now operating within the EPA, similar to how Monsanto and DuPont operate out of the Department of Agriculture or have control over it? And related to this is the larger question regarding the EPA's secret science policies, which allow science to be completely distorted and curtails regulatory policies. So please explain how this works. The forum is yours.
Yeah, well, first off, recently there were some Freedom of Information requests that were done by another organization that found that the Heartland Institute, which, as you've noted, is certainly they're well known as climate deniers and directly funded by the oil industry, including the Koch Foundation. But you know, what these emails revealed was a very tight relationship between the head of the EPA, other members, you know, the staff within the EPA, and the Heartland, And, you know, I think what's kind of indicative of how the environment has changed overall in the Trump administration is when this was revealed, the Heartland Institute came out and just said, yeah, of course they're talking to us because we're one of the top people who challenge climate science. So, you know, the fact that you have someone like that directly involved in policy in Pruitt's EPA is troubling. But, it's not surprising because when Trump was elected, the transition team was headed up for the EPA by Myron Ebell, who's from the Competitive Enterprise Institute. And he's a known climate denier. And not a scientist. And he was the person in charge of the transition. So I think this was to be expected. I think that it really shouldn't be looked at as something that's new with Trump and Pruitt, because this is the sort of the end line here for decades of investment and work and propaganda by the oil industry and like the Koch foundations, but you know, the American Petroleum Institute, ExxonMobil, all the large oil companies fund Heartland and Competitive Enterprise and other such so-called think tanks. I think this is pretty much the ideal scenario for them, and they've done a great job of getting one of their people at the top. And I believe the guy under Pruitt is a former coal lobbyist, so the fossil fuel industry is very well represented. But this is, I don't think we should get distracted from the fact that these think tanks and all this industry funding basically has elected the majority of Congress. So they already have influence over Congress. They have people throughout all of the regulatory agencies. And one of their main, very successful approaches has been challenging the science, and whether that's climate science or, a lot of, other people who've looked at this from other aspects than me have said that this all was, a formula that worked very well for the tobacco industry for a long time. And was adopted by the oil and coal industries. And so what they're doing now is, their approach is to challenge the science, and it's a very effective way of halting new regulations or delaying regulation. And delaying regulation is as good as not having new regulation. So overall, I think it's a big win from that side of having Pruitt there. I think they must be slapping their foreheads these days because they got their guy at the head of the EPA, and he seems to be more interested in getting his wife a Chick-fil-A franchise or buying fancy pens or putting in a soundproof phone booth in his office. It's like they got to their ideal scenario, but they got the wrong guy in charge.
I would say that would be true for every single one of the cabinet appointees. I believe the larger overriding question listeners may wish to hear is, what is the fossil fuel industry's ultimate goal and agenda in lobbying against regulation that it knows will complete, certainly, that what is protecting the public? Because the science investigative reporting is out there. It's not a question is global warming real? Are there industries contributing to it? Can we sustain our planet with their policies? Clearly, the science is not what's at issue here. So what are they trying to achieve?
Well, and I think if you look at the fossil fuel industry, and especially the oil industry, which is also the one and the same as the petrochemical industry, they have all the best scientists in the world because they pay the best. It's not like they don't understand the science. I think we've seen reporting, from DSMOG and certainly, other Inside Climate News and other people over the last 3 years or so, and there's just more and more evidence that keeps coming out. The oil companies were one of the first groups of scientists to know that climate change was an issue and that carbon in the atmosphere was causing it. The fact that they're challenging the science, I honestly don't believe. Scott Pruitt might not understand the science, but I know that the industry does. The main reason to challenge the science, which is that they can then say we need to have a conversation before we can have any regulations, say, about methane emissions or what to do with fracking wastewater. And if that conversation, because the regulatory process is incredibly slow, so even if we all agree that there's some sort of dangerous thing out there, we need to regulate it, it could take 3 to 4 years to get a regulation through. And that's going to be, you know, a battle between industry lobbyists and politicians and the people, you know, running the regulatory agencies. So, but the ultimate goal is, in my opinion, regulation cuts into profits. And the fossil fuel industry right now is facing two different headwinds. One is that renewable energy is coming down in price and it's cost competitive. You know, for electricity generation, you know, renewables are cheaper than coal and competitive with gas. So that's one reason why they're looking to cut costs. And the other is that the fracking industry, while there's been record oil production in this country over the last couple of years, that only recently breaking record, but they've been losing lots of money to pump that oil out of the ground. So fracking, while it's still a relatively new technology, the horizontal hydraulic fracking, we're about 8 or 9 years into it being massively deployed. They aren't making money with it, and so they're also it's not good for the environment on several levels. So when if the EPA or someone else says, well, we need to regulate what you do with this toxic water that comes out of the ground after you frack these wells. There are expensive ways to deal with it that would make it safer, and then there are the cheaper ways. An example of one way they're getting rid of fracking water right now is 13 states allow it to be spread onto roads to de-ice them in the winter or to keep dust down in the summer. And that's the kind of thing that works great for the industry, and this is in mostly in rural areas, so the impacts of that are not going to be immediately known. But it's a cost savings. And so fighting regulations cut into profits. I mean, it's that simple. This is all about money. This isn't about people denying whether the earth is getting warmer, which is, you know, obviously the science is clear on this. But all of this is about money and Pruitt being in charge of it and working with these other groups that are all funded by that same industry. They're looking to protect their profits, or at this point, I mean, we just saw Canada decide to buy a pipeline for several billion dollars because the pipeline company said it wasn't going to make money. Now, so the industry is facing financial challenges, and a clearly proven way to address that is get rid of regulations.
It's just, it is so foolish. Well, my conclusion is that right now the EPA, certainly at its administrative level, is completely and totally corrupt. It's been captured by the Cato Institute, Heartland Institute, the Koch brothers, and they have this person, Pruitt, who seems clueless. Nobody could be that stupid today. Well, then again, this is the Trump administration, so I have to take that back. I want to thank you for bringing us up to date on this in this little newsmaker segment, Justin, and we'll look forward to your next development. When you have something, it's important to let us get a heads up. We'll be here to hear what you have to say. All the best to you.
All right. Thank you very much.
From Finger Lake region in New York, and that was Justin Mikulka, M-I-K-U-L-K-A. Now, I put out the call, and we've got someone on the line now. What is your name, please?
Hi, Gary. This is Eozy from New Jersey.
Uzi, spell that. Good.
E-U-Z-I.
E-U-Z-I, okay.
Correct.
Tell us, what condition did you have before you started your journey to health?
I had the cholesterol. There was a 280 and the LDL of 191. And after just 1 week at your retreat, my cholesterol came all the way down to 219 and my LDL dropped rapidly to a 137.
Well, those are both good.
Yeah, I'm not AMD, but I don't think there is any medication that can make that change so rapidly. So I'm so grateful that I had the privilege of attending a retreat, and was an amazing experience. Your staff, it's so caring and kind. Everyone, I was blessed, and I felt so happy of being there. It was an amazing experience.
So you had your cholesterol and your LDL drop over 70 points in 1 week, and there is no medication that could do that. You're correct. So that shows it can be done. And how are you feeling?
Terrific. My energy level is great, and I've been making some positive changes in my life, being more patient with myself and not trying to be controlling, and I'm so happy. I'm being a better parent for my children and better wife for my husband. Overall, I believe you only can give to others what you have, and right now I feel great, so all my friends are telling me that they can't feel the energy when they are around me. So thank you so much for allowing me to have that experience.
Good. We appreciate your call. Thank you. Okay. Put out the word, and on a regular basis, I'm going to put out the word, and people can call in, share their stories. And I put out the word for Luann. Luann's on the line now. Hi, Luann.
Hello, Gary. Oh, Yuzi is just one of many people who have had just phenomenal transitions at the retreat, and what a privilege for our staff to be a part of their experiences. We just truly enjoy it. And Yuzi, by the way, she also had a cerebral meningioma, which she had operated on before the retreat, and she's doing beautiful, just beautiful. So she's a real inspiration to everyone, to just everyone.
Okay, well, I don't recognize any people by names because I never remember names. Names I've chosen long ago in my life, not when you meet a million people, you don't want to try to remember names. But if I saw her, I'm sure I would remember who she is. Thank you, Luann. We appreciate it. And by the way, Luann, you're following up with some of the people that we wanted to get their post-medical, all their documentation, so that those people, those unique people who did something unique I'm not going to talk about yet, when they get their post-medical workups, so they have absolute irrefutable before and after medical proof, invite them on the program, all right?
Absolutely. I certainly will. I'll be in touch.
Okay. Now, this is from Brandon Turbeville of Natural Blaze. And this is about what they tell you is no harm, no proof of harm, and yet it's not true. Anxiety, heart problems, chest pains, cancer from the electromagnetic radiation. So despite the mainstream media and the telecom industry's claims that there is no connection between cell phones and negative health effects, particularly cancer, the fact is that their own manuals of these devices manufactured by the same industry admit that they do cause harm. Indeed, the contradictions between their public statements and the statements on their manuals are blaringly obvious. Any warnings regarding the negative effects of these now ubiquitous devices are dismissed as conspiracy theory or paranoia or being anti-science or anti-technology. No, the evidence is clear that wireless devices are affecting our health and environment. And in fact, just a few of the things directly from their own information: disrupting sleep, the unsafe tech use displayed in marketing campaigns for prescription drugs and TV programs and films and more. Quote, for many years, medical experts have been warning about keeping cordless phones and cell phones near beds due to radiation and blue light. Exposure to this can be especially hard on children. This may be why Silicon Valley parents have been limiting their kids' exposure to new technology for many years already, but not the rest of the country. So what is it about the parents in Silicon Valley that they're doing for their kids and the warnings and limitations of their cell phones, but they don't tell the rest of the parents in America to do it? Cordless landline phones also emit electromagnetic radiation, so it's really important that they aren't near anyone's beds or desks. And heart problems are also up there. Quote, Dr. Magna Havis, who has been studying and reporting on the dangers of cell phone Wi-Fi radiation for some time, has also written about how Wi-Fi devices can actually affect the heart. In a study by Dr. Havis and her colleagues at the Ramazzini Institute, which was subsequently published in the European Journal of Oncology, an experiment demonstrated a clear connection between such radiation and irregular rapid heartbeat. In a discussion of the study by Dr. Havis, it says, according to this research, some individuals are hypersensitive to microwave radiation and respond when they are exposed to levels well below federal guidelines. And during the real-time monitoring of the heart, some individuals experience irregular heart rate or rapid heart rate that occurred only during provocation and not during sham exposure, meaning they tried a machine that was just a placebo. They also associated with cancer. They associated with passing through the blood-brain barrier. And so this is all in their own literature. So final warning here, all the cell phones, computers, laptops, all of this is based upon electromagnetic pulses, and now you've got the very dangerous Wi-Fis going in everywhere. And their own literature shows that it caused cancer, brain abnormalities, irregular heartbeat. So don't believe them when they tell you that there's nothing to fear. It does no harm. It all does harm. I'm Gary Noll. We're out of time. Thank you all for listening. Have a nice day.
We don't have to